And the reading this morning, which Sheila's going to be preaching, is from Philippians 3, verses 1 to 11. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship the Spirit of God, who glory in Jesus Christ, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whoever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. This is the word of the Lord.
I wonder what things are important to you. You've heard the story, isn't it? If there was a fire and you could only take three things, what would you take? You don't need to tell me, you know. We all have different things, don't we, that are special. Or maybe what's really important in our lives is our jobs or our homes. But I'm sure for most of us, if we said what was most special, we'd say people, wouldn't we? The people we love and the people we care about. This is a very interesting passage. It follows on what we heard last week about shining like stars in the universe. Do you remember that if you were here? How we could shine for Jesus in the darkness. St. Paul starts this bit of his letter to the Philippians with these words. Finally, he's obviously coming towards the end. Finally, rejoice in the Lord. You know, he keeps saying that in Philippians. We had that a lot last week, didn't we? Rejoice in the Lord. And in fact, he even goes on to say, it's no trouble for me to write these things again and again. It's a safeguard for you. It's as if he's saying, listen, get this. It's important. Rejoice in the Lord. We look at some of the things he said in this passage that we've just had read to us, and we'll just see how that could perhaps impact us and how we could achieve it, or at least move towards it, because it's not always easy, is it, to be told, rejoice in the Lord. What does it actually mean for us? In the letter, Paul talks first about circumcision. Now, this is a very important law to the Jews, because their belief was that circumcision was ordained upon Israel as a sign that they were the people that God had entered into covenant with. They were his people, his chosen people, and this was the sign. But Paul is contradicting this a bit, because he's now saying that now that Jesus has come, that's changed. You see, it's not about flesh. It's not about keeping rules. It's about the heart. Ian sent me a lovely picture of the circumcision of the heart, but I haven't put it up. Thank you, Ian. But our relationship with God now is not about keeping rules. It's about a relationship of the heart. That's what it's all about. And we can have this relationship with our Lord because Jesus died for us and rose again. We can know him. Isn't that fantastic? We can know God. We can have a special relationship with him. You know, Paul goes on to set out his credentials as the perfect Jew before all this. He was born of Jewish parents. He was circumcised when he was 8 days old. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He knew and he kept the law. He was a Pharisee, the most strict of the people who keep the law. And as for zeal, he says, he went around persecuting the church. He was faultless. But then he goes on to say that despite being faultless in Jewish faith, and it being his whole life until then, this is what he thinks now. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Paul had met with Jesus on that road, do you remember? And everything changed. He knew his Lord. He knew he'd been forgiven. He knew he'd been filled with the Holy Spirit. And he walked daily with Jesus. All human achievement was left aside, and he accepted the free grace and mercy of Jesus. That, I think, is a lesson on the fact that we don't get to Jesus or into his good books by what we do. It's free. It's offered to us. We do things. We do serve. We do work. But that's because we know him. And we want to thank him and show him our love for him. Let me read you these next verses again, because I think, like St. Paul, they're important. I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. Paul had laid down everything. He did, didn't he? He didn't have a home. He'd left all he knew behind. He depended on God, often through other Christians, to meet his daily needs. He was persecuted and beaten and suffered so many hardships. You can read about them in there. But his life was now totally centered on Jesus. It was different. It wasn't about keeping all those little tiny rules. It was about his relationship with Jesus. I thought I'd read this in the Message when I was preparing this, and it made me smile because the words in the Message often make me smile. This is what it says. The very credentials these people are waving around as something special, I'm tearing up and throwing out with the trash, along with everything else I used to take credit for. And why? Because of Christ. Yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my Master firsthand, everything I once thought was going for me is insignificant. I dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him. I didn't want some petty, inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting God, God's righteousness. I gave up all that inferior stuff so that I could know Christ personally, experience his resurrection power, be a partner in his suffering, and go all the way to death itself. And if there was any way to get to the resurrection of the dead, I wanted to do it. I thought, that's very, very clear, isn't it? in the language that we use. So what about us? How do we all stand on things like this? How do we understand what Paul's saying here for our lives? Now, I'm quite sure Jesus is not asking all of us to give up everything we have and go on the road like St. Paul. We'd have a bit of an empty church here, wouldn't we, if that was so. But he does ask things of us. He does want us committed to him. I was just going to give you a little bit of testimony here. I thought at first, is this saying how brilliant I am? But actually it's not. It's about Jesus taking hold of my life, the life I offered, and making it incredible. From being an ordinary life, it became amazing. Some years ago now, and it's quite a few, I won't tell you how many, Paul and I felt a call to full-time ministry. We were walking with God. We had a very comfortable life. We lived in a very nice house, detached house. We had a car each. Paul was a nuclear scientist. He was earning a lot of money. We had two girls just going into teenage years. And everything was good. We served at our church, which was here. And we were comfortable. And God gave us a call about full-time ministry. And it was a strange call because we needed a lot of patience. Because we were doing a lot of youth work at that time. And God said, what do you want to do? I couldn't believe when he said that to me. What do I want to do? I said, well, I want to work. I thought I'd be cheeky. I want to work with young people across all the churches in Harrogate. And that's what happened eventually as we worked with Youth for Christ. It was 5 years from that point. So there was a bit of patience involved in there. But from then on, God made our lives so incredible. It was hard, yes, of course it was hard. Our salary went down to less than a quarter, I think. But it was hard, but it was great. It wasn't a hardship, but there were difficulties along the way. But actually, it was a complete and total joy. Because when I think back, which I've done this week, on all the things that we've been able to do, and all the situations and places we've been able to go, and all the amazing people we have met along the way. Wow, it's amazing. It's incredible what God can do with an ordinary life committed to him. And I do keep wondering what he's going to do with us next. We haven't finished yet. We're still serving here and we'll go on doing that. It's exciting. And you know, a couple of people I know have mentioned that passage to me in the past about what is really important to them. There's somebody in this congregation, they may recognize themselves, I don't know. But when they became a Christian, I remember them saying, I get that. I get that. I get what's really important. It's about Jesus. When he's center, that just makes everything else come into the background. And then there was a young man we were working with, and he was a very clever young man, and he had a very good job, and he was very into taking photographs and architecture, and he went all around the world because he was able to do that, doing this. And then he came to me one day and he said, I've got it. All of those things are wonderful. They're great. But nothing compared to knowing Jesus like this. Nothing. You see, and it doesn't mean that they've left everything and gone off and done something else. They just live daily with Jesus at the center of their lives. Putting Jesus in charge, that's what it's about. It's not about what we do. It's about the relationship we have and then what comes from that. So how do we do it? How do we allow Jesus his rightful place in our lives? How can we keep rejoicing in him? As St. Paul tells the Philippians, I think the key is something that's been very much on my heart recently. I don't know why this would come to me suddenly like this, but it has in the last few weeks to think again. It's realizing just how much Jesus loves us and how much he offers us and how much he gives us. You see, he loves us so much that he gave his very life for us. We all know that, don't we? We know Jesus loves us. Can I have some nods? Yes, yes, there's one or two, yes. But do we really? Do we know that if you were the only person on earth, he would still have died for you? You are that important to him, every single person here. Not just Phil, or Sally, or Beth. Everybody, you! Are you able to say that to yourself? Jesus loves me. Say it to yourself now. Jesus loves me, and put your name there. Jesus loves me, Sheila. Just say it quietly to yourself. Get it. This book tells us all about that love, doesn't it? Our God is awesome. I once heard a preacher say this. He said, have you got a wallet? Some of you might still have a wallet. Have you got a picture in your wallet? Who's it of? And I'm going to say to you, have you got a phone? Have you got a mobile phone? Have you got a picture on the front? Have a look and see if you've got a picture on the front if you want. See who's on, if you don't remember, look. If you do remember, think. Who's the photo on your phone? I think mine might come up there. The one with Poppy on her own, that's my granddaughter, Poppy among the poppies, is on my phone. The other one is part of my family, the Harrogate part, and it was when we were in Spain last year, even with Tony looking like a gangster behind them, you know, with his sunglasses on. But those are the people that are very special to me. And I change my photographs because, you know, they look and see who I've got on, all of them, to check that they all get a turn. If Jesus had a mobile phone, he doesn't need one because we can talk to him without that and he can talk to us. Whose photo would be on it? It would be yours. It would be yours. That's how much he loves you. Absolutely and totally. Sometimes I feel overwhelmed with the love of God. Have you felt like that? It's just fantastic, isn't it? He has so much for us. I read a very old hymn the other week, actually. I wish I remembered when I was writing this. And when I told Beth about it, she sang it to me. You want to sing it, Beth? She said, we could sing it, but I decided I'd read a bit of it for you because it's actually quite old-fashioned words, isn't it? It starts like this, and it's written by a young man who was standing on a bridge in London about to jump into the Thames because he'd had enough, and he suddenly felt the powerful love of Jesus all around him, just out of the blue. And this is what he wrote. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me. Underneath me, all around me, is the current of thy love, leading onward, leading homeward, to thy glorious rest above. Each verse starts, you can read it all if you want later, I've got the book with me. Each verse starts with those words, oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. Go to sleep with those words in your head. The deep, deep love of Jesus over me. It's wonderful. So you see, when we realise that love, when we begin to realise it, because it takes a long time to realise love like that, we'll probably never realise it all till we actually meet with Jesus. But when we do, we can put him at the centre of our lives and we can live rejoicing, every single one of us. Those last couple of verses in that passage. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. I want to know Jesus more. Do you? I want to attain to the resurrection. Do you enjoy Jesus now? We can, all of us, can't we? God bless you. Amen.